Next case, Borofsky v. Holder, 093104.
May I please court?
You may proceed, Mr. Chowdhury.
Yep. My name is Ajay Chowdhury. I represent Sergey Borofsky, the petitioner in this case. The government's brief acknowledges that the board mistakenly thought that this case was governed by Eighth Circuit case law rather than Seventh Circuit case law. This court has held, quote, if the BIA bases its conclusion upon an improper basis, we are powerless to affirm that judgment, end quote. That's from Moab v. Gonzalez, which is cited in our brief. Here, it's undisputed that the board's past persecution analysis was based on an improper basis, since the board thought that Eighth Circuit case law governs this case. The board has not addressed the issue of whether the beatings in this case qualify as persecution under Seventh Circuit case law. The Supreme Court in INS v. Ventura held that when the board does not address an issue, then a remand is normally done except in rare circumstances. The Supreme Court emphasized that a remand should be done in that situation. An example of a rare circumstance where a remand would not be required would be if both parties agree that there was no prejudice as a result of the board's mistaken application of incorrect case law. For example, in Nazeev, which is cited in the government's brief, the petitioner in that case did not claim that he was prejudiced as a result of the board's incorrect application of Eighth Circuit case law, and therefore this court did not remand that case. By contrast, our brief points out that the board's mistaken application of Eighth Circuit case law in this case did harm Mr. Borofsky, because in ruling that the beatings in this case did not constitute persecution, the board relied on Eighth Circuit case law that follows a minor beatings doctrine that has not been adopted by the Seventh Circuit. Therefore, this case is not one of those rare cases where a remand is not required as a result of the board's mistaken application of Eighth Circuit case law.
But when you look at Seventh Circuit case law, he doesn't qualify either. There's no... There's not sufficient evidence to rise to the level of persecution. It wasn't inflicted by government or by a private party that the government was unwilling to control. This is something that took place many years ago by school children.
Well, Your Honor, first of all, it wasn't just by school children. Mr. Borofsky testified that some of it was by school children, some of it was not by school children. And second,
What was the governmental connection to it, though?
Yeah.
That it was condoned by the government?
Mr. Borofsky's father complained to government authorities about this beating, and they said, we're not going to do anything about it. And in fact, we're going to, you know, retaliate against you if you continue to complain. They said, go away. So the government basically ratified it. But also, I disagree, Your Honor, that this does not qualify as past persecution under Seventh Circuit case law, because there are many beatings. Mr. Borofsky testified that there were many beatings in this case, and the immigration judge accepted this testimony as credible with regards to the beatings that occurred in Ukraine. And the board did not address the credibility issue on appeal, therefore that's should stand in this court as well. So what the issue is, if someone is beaten many times, does that qualify as past persecution under Seventh Circuit case law? And I would say the answer is yes, but more importantly, the Supreme Court has instructed that this court should not make that analysis in the first instance until the board has first ruled and for itself whether or not it qualifies as past persecution under Seventh Circuit analysis. And then if the board does make that determination that it does not qualify as past persecution, then this court can review the board's decision at that point. The Supreme Court in INS v. Ventura said that's the way that these cases should be done if there's a mistake by the board. Rather than the court making a de novo inquiry, remand is the first priority. I want to briefly address the Convention Against Torture claim. The board's decision does not clearly state why the board denied the Convention Against Torture claim. For example, the board could have felt that Mr. Borofsky would not be imprisoned in Israel for failing to serve in the military, but the board's decision does not state that. Or the board could have thought that Mr. Brodsky would be imprisoned in Israel for failing to serve in the military, but that imprisonment does not constitute torture. But again, the board's decision does not state that. Rather, the board simply says Brodsky did not prove that it's more likely than not that he would be tortured in Israel. The board doesn't explain why. And that's similar to what the board did in a case called Kadia, which is cited in our brief. In that case, this court held that the board, quote, concluded without explanation that Kadia failed to establish persecution on account of a protected ground. We cannot affirm the BIA if the basis for its decision is unclear, end quote.
Well, here the board specifically held with respect to that aspect of the claim that the respondent has failed to demonstrate that his actions in avoiding his service in the Israeli military would result in disproportionately severe punishment on account of political opinion or any other prohibited grounds. So it's not an unexplained ruling.
Well, and actually that I'm referring to the Convention Against Torture claim. So that where you don't need to prove that political opinion is the basis for the persecution. So near the bottom of the opinion is where they address the Convention Against Torture claim. The last few sentences of the board's opinion. It's like two sentences at the very end, or the very last sentences of the opinion. And there, the board doesn't explain. It gives a very conclusory statement about why they're denying the Convention Against Torture claim, which is similar to the conclusory statement they gave in Kadia.
Well, and this court has to be read in the context of what the board held earlier in its opinion. It's not read in isolation.
Well, but since political opinion does not need to be proved in the Convention Against Torture claim, it doesn't really ride on, it can't be connected to the prior statements. And nowhere does the board, even in the earlier part of the opinion, nowhere does the board say this analysis. Do they think that Mr. Brodsky will be imprisoned in Israel for having failed to serve in the military? The board doesn't say that, answer that one question. And then the board doesn't say, well, if he is in prison, does that qualify as torture? The board could have gone either way, and then we could argue about that in this case, but the board didn't specifically make one of those findings. The government's brief argues both those points, but the board's decision does not. The board's decision is unclear. And therefore, based on what this court said in Kadia, this case should be remanded on that ground as well because the board's decision is unclear. So there's a basis for remand for both points, for the unclear decision of the board and the fact that it relied on Eighth Circuit case law.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Young?
May it please the Court, my name is Elizabeth Young. I represent the Attorney General. Just as an initial matter, I'll address the claim that the board misapplied the wrong circuit's law. And here, the government, as we stated in the brief, concedes that Seventh Circuit law applies to this case. And that any application of Eighth Circuit law by the board would be harmless because Mr. Brodsky's claim fails under Seventh Circuit and Eighth Circuit law. And with respect to his argument about Ventura and remand, the board conducted fact-finding that would be relevant to either Seventh Circuit or Eighth Circuit law. So remand wouldn't be appropriate because the fact-finding has happened. And here this court is capable of just applying the facts that the board determined to the Seventh Circuit law at issue in this case. I'll move first to Mr. Brodsky's claim for withholding of removal and protection under the Convention Against Torture with respect to Israel. He claims he cannot return to Israel because he'll be imprisoned for failing to perform mandatory military duty. At the outset, Mr. Brodsky has not even demonstrated, and the agency found this, that he will be actually imprisoned for failing to perform his military service. His testimony was that he left Israel with his parents as a minor child before the actual age of calling up for duty, that he never received any notice from the military actually calling him up. So the only thing he relies upon in the evidence is a single internet article that was allegedly written by an Israeli army reservist for the assertion that he'll be in prison for 6 to 10 years. But if you look to that article, it doesn't even specify a length of imprisonment, and instead just says that an individual will face, quote, a long imprisonment. So his evidentiary submissions don't even support his testimony. In addition, he said that his father consulted with an Israeli lawyer, but Mr. Brodsky first called his father to testify. His father never actually showed up, and he didn't put an affidavit from any Israeli lawyer into evidence. So it's the government's position that this evidence does not demonstrate he will even face imprisonment. And this court rejected in a very similar case, Palinkovich, which the government cited in our brief, an applicant's reliance on a single internet article on the draft evasion. But even if he were so imprisoned, it's clear that he did not allege an exception to this court's longstanding rule that prosecution does not equal persecution. And there's two exceptions, one in the case of an internationally condemned military, and two, if the individual will be disproportionately severe punishment on account of protected ground. And here, Mr. Borowski actually admitted that it wasn't on account of protected ground. He initially suggested that perhaps it would be because he was of Russian descent, but quickly backed off this allegation when the immigration judge confronted him with the fact that nearly 500,000 people in Israel are of Russian descent. So here he hasn't fit either of the two exceptions for the rule that prosecution does not equal persecution. With respect to the torture claim, Mr. Borowski has not addressed in his brief that he would be subject to torture if imprisoned in Israel. Again, and he hasn't even demonstrated that he'll be imprisoned. But prison conditions stemming from lawful sanctions do not constitute torture. And that's from both the regulations and case law in this circuit. And he has not put forth any evidence that the government of Israel has an intent to torture draft evaders. So his claims for CAT and withholding must fail from Israel. In the alternative, he co-designated the Ukraine for withholding of removal, as he's permitted to do. But he's there unable to establish a likelihood of persecution because he's Jewish. And this is particularly in the face of the fact that in his asylum application, he checked a box designating that he was Christian, and he testified that he has no intent. He was, quote, not concerned about being able to practice Judaism in the future. This is relevant because although State Department evidence indicates that there are some anti-Semitic incidents in Ukraine, that they're typically perpetrated against individuals who were actually attending religious services. And in addition, as Your Honor pointed out, there is no evidence in the record indicating that the Ukraine is unwilling or unable to control these incidents of violence. And to the contrary, both the State Department reports and Mr. Borowski's own evidence indicate that the government is fully capable of investigating these incidents quickly. And as a final matter, Mr. Borowski's claim of persecution in Ukraine fails for an independent ground in that he failed to provide corroborating evidence. And again, he put his father's name on a witness list, and he admitted that his father actually lives with him in the United States and was allegedly subjected to the same treatment, but his father never came forward to testify. And so he bore the burden of actually coming forward with corroborative evidence, and this he failed to do. So his claim from Ukraine fails on that independent ground as well. If there's no further questions.
Thank you, Ms.
Government asked. Thank you.
How much time does he have? 3 minutes.
The first issue to be analyzed is, was there past persecution in this case? And the fact that Mr. Borowski testified that he was beaten many times establishes that there was past persecution, and the immigration judge accepted that testimony as credible, that this happened in Ukraine. If there is past persecution in this case, then there's, under the regulations, there's a presumption of future persecution, even though it's been many years. The board proceeded with its analysis based on the assumption that there was no past persecution. So if this court finds that there was past persecution, then that's an additional reason for remand, because the board did not proceed with analysis that there is a presumption of past persecution, but that presumption has been rebutted. The board just pretended like there is no presumption of persecution. And the government indicates that, well, even under Seventh Circuit case law, there would be no finding of past persecution in this case. But how do we know that? I mean, the board did not analyze that, and the Supreme Court and this court have held that if the agency makes a mistake, then this court is powerless to affirm that judgment on a different ground. The Supreme Court did say in rare circumstances, remand can be avoided, but that should be designed for cases where the parties agree that there's no prejudice, such as in Nazib. But here we pointed out that the Eighth Circuit has this minor beatings doctrine that's not been adopted by the Seventh Circuit. The term minor beatings, as to my knowledge, has not even been issued in a published Seventh Circuit opinion in an immigration case. So I think that the fact that there were many beatings in this case does establish past persecution. The government made some other arguments, and in their brief they made many arguments, and those arguments might be relevant if this case is remanded. But at this point, given the procedural posture of the case and given that the board's decision is unclear on the Convention Against Torture claim, they're not really relevant at this point. The government did not really address the fact that the board only gave a conclusory one or two sentence analysis at the end of its opinion about the Convention's torture claim does not say really why they feel that Mr. Borofsky would not be tortured.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement. Thank you.